But you know, when I preach funerals, and when I think of my own funeral, I often find myself trying to answer one question. What mark has this life made? And when I think of myself, I ask the question, what am I doing to ensure that I leave this world in a better place than when I was hatched? To make the world a better place. This should be the goal of every Christian. You know, I've heard, and you've probably heard this too, oh, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I kind of heard that time to time. But really, I don't see that. In fact, those who have an eternal perspective on life are more apt to be devoted to make a difference in the here and now. And C.S. Lewis had a little comment on that. He said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one. Now this morning, this is going to be a little tough. Because we're going to go to a passage that kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. But I want to explore the possibility this morning of creating a life for ourselves that is designed to be making a difference, not only now, but forever, in the lives of others. All truth is God's truth. So first of all, let's look at a couple simple truths this morning as you're getting ready to go here this morning. Living for yourself leads to isolation. The opposite of living to make a difference is living for yourself. When you do this, you end up making yourself and everybody around you unhappy. If you think about that, that's true. Who's your music icon? John Mellencamp. You know, I'm not a big rock and roll guy, but John Mellencamp kind of put this mindset to lyrics in his song, Big Daddy of Them All. He said, just sad and disgusted is what you've grown up to be. Bet you had no idea this is what your dream would turn out to be. When you live for yourself, it's hard on everyone. But you did it your own way, man. You did it all. How does it feel to be the big daddy of them all? When you live for yourself, it's hard on everyone. And what ultimately happens is that you kind of end up alone. Living for yourself leads to isolation. And secondly, living for yourself also leads to, missed opportunities. Lack of proper time management can cause you to miss out on opportunities. And when you multiply this over the course of a lifetime, it isn't just I missed that one. It eventually turns into a life that never really reaches its potential. Now, we're all in the middle of this. We all have to struggle. We all deal with this. So as you turn this morning to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, as you turn to the last chapter in the Pentateuch, the last chapter in the Torah this morning, I've got some good news for you. Because the flip side of living for yourself is that when you live to make a difference, you will reach your potential. You will experience deeper, fuller relationships. You will make the world a better place. Deuteronomy 34 talks about the death of Moses. If any human lived to make a difference, it was Moses. And look at the difference he made. He compiled, wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. He led the people of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. He established God's law, His and God's covenant with His people. And He's a central figure in three major world religions. And in this chapter, we can learn some things about living to make a difference. There's three things I want you to see this morning. And the first one's a little tough. Kind of smacks us hard against a sobering truth this morning. I want you to see that when your time comes to leave the world, you will be mourned, but not forever. And this is how it should be. Let's look at verse 7. Let's get into the Word this morning. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. I tell you, no matter who it is that is gone, life goes on. Even when it's one of the greatest leaders ever, one of the greatest men who ever walked on this planet, when his time came, life goes on. And honestly, that's the way it should be. I sometimes like to think that when my time comes and I'm no longer around, you know, the world's going to spin out of control. Nothing will get done. Life will just, it'll be like a post-apocalyptic wasteland when I go, you know. And that's just me thinking too highly of myself. We all know that's not the case. Life goes on. They'll put me in the ground, come up on the hill and eat potato salad. Go on their merry way. Speaking of sobering facts, by the way, you know which factor more than any other will determine the attendance at your funeral? How we think it's how great accomplishments and all these kind of things. You know what it is? It's the weather. It's the weather, isn't it? And the weather's crummy. Changes in numbers. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to impress upon you a simple and sobering truth. You'll be mourned for a while, no matter who you are. How much and for how long you are missed will be determined by the kind of life you build for yourself. And this brings us to the second thing this morning, if you got your notes going today. In order to make a difference, devote yourself to a vision that will outlive you. Let's back up in chapter 34. Let's go to verse 1 now in God's Word. Right before Moses died, the Bible tells us, then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim, Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Why was Moses not allowed to enter the promised land after all he had done? Well, it goes back to a failure of leadership in his life. And to be exact, a failure of obedience. In Numbers 20, and you don't have to turn there, but Moses was dealing with some complaints of the people of Israel. They were unhappy because they didn't have enough water. And once before, God had told Moses to strike a rock, and water would come out of the rock. And this time around, God told Moses to speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He struck the rock two times, And he also took credit for it. He said, must we bring water out of this rock? And then God told him, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. That might seem like a pretty harsh judgment, but it's the judgment God chose. And it brings us to another sobering truth this morning. Your failures and your mistakes will limit what you can accomplish in life. And I'm right there with you. There is not a person in this world who cannot look back on their life and see where they could have done more and they could have done better. If only I had greater faith. If only I had been more obedient. If only I had been more committed. If only I had grown more spiritually. If only I had maybe taken more chances. It happened to Moses. And he was not able to enter the promised land. And it happened to King David too. He wasn't allowed to build the temple because he was such a man of war. Now I want to apply a little grace to your life. Now finally, this morning, with this little observation. If it happened to these great men, it's going to happen to every one of us. Our failures and mistakes will limit what we are able to accomplish. There's always this concept. There's always this sense in that we see more than we can hold, that we see more than we can touch. And that's why it's crucial that you devote yourself to a vision which is really greater than you, to a vision that will outlast you. And here is why Moses could dance on Mount Nebo. Moses' leadership wasn't based on him. It was based on the vision that God had for his people. Even when Moses, even without Moses in leadership, the people were able to get where God wanted them to go. It wasn't a case of, well, if Moses can't go, nobody can go. No. We can't do anything without Moses. Nah. And yet, that's how many people organize their area of leadership, in such a way that it can't survive without them. And here's what I'm getting at. If you want to make a difference, you need to devote yourself to something that is bigger than you. Something that can outlive you. Something that can outlast you. I tell you, I want my vision to always be greater than what I can personally accomplish. Didn't used to be that way. I want my eyes to see more than my hands will ever hold. Didn't used to be that way. And I want to work. I want the work to continue long after people have forgotten who I am. And the mower breaks down before it even goes around my tombstone. So they just let it grow up. And that's okay. And this brings us to the third point this morning. The third thing I want you to see, in order to make a difference, invest in building up those who will come after you. Kind of a Pauline Firestone thing. Let's go to verse 9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Among the most important work that Moses did his entire life as he prepared Joshua to take over. And in the same way, among the most important work you can do in your life will be to the work of building up others. God's plan for His people is that we build up one another. Oh, your children. They should be at the forefront of your heart. Your grandchildren. Those you work with. Those in your neighborhood. And Paul said to Timothy, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." This is God's method. Like relay runners, passing the baton. I know you probably don't want to hear another sobering truth this morning, but here it is anyway. If you do leadership right, those that come after you, they're going to do more than you ever did. They're going to do more than you do. Actually, this only hurts if your leadership is more about you than about others. But you need to be aware of it. And actually, this is a cause of celebration. Moses didn't enter the promised land, but he could celebrate the fact that God's people was going to get there. And that's what he was after. That they would experience the fullness of the land of milk and honey. And boy, doesn't that equate with heaven today. Pulling people across, giving them opportunities to accept Jesus. You know, Cindy and I have seen this in Bible quizzing over the years. We see quizzers from years gone by. They're in leadership positions, or elders in the churches are leadership positions in our denomination. We're beginning to see it internationally at Camp of the Woods as their staff now is growing. We've got a sister church in our denomination contemplating regular financial assistance there now. And we're going to see more accomplished here because more and more are stepping up to the plate and helping. I tell you what, you know, my Mount Nebo right now is Wednesday nights. Oh, I see people just helping one another. And everybody's got their own mindset, but everybody just works together to teach these kids. How wonderful that is. And we're going to see more accomplished here because a man named Tim has joined the ministry. And I got to tell you, he is absolutely sold out for Jesus. He is radical in his commitment to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can take that to the bank. So what a blessing it is to have him with us. See, the truth is, you will accomplish more through the people who come after you than you will ever accomplish through your own efforts. So, devote your life to building others. This is something that all parents need to take seriously. It is your job to prepare your children for life as an adult. It is your job to help them through your leadership, through your teaching, through your example, to accomplish more than you are able to accomplish. Ken Griffey Sr., pretty good baseball player, pretty good coach. Ken Griffey Jr., he became a legend. Cal Ripken Sr., pretty good player, pretty good coach. Cal Ripken Jr. passed him by and became one of the greats. John Elway, pretty good college football player, decent coach. His son John Elway, became a legend in the game. Archie Manning, pretty good quarterback. Well, you get the idea. As a parent, as a coach, as a teacher, as a boss, as a co-worker, rise to the level of Moses. Work with those and build them up. If you want to make a difference, invest your life in building people. I don't remember a whole lot of sayings from my father. He died when I was fairly young. But if you want to make the world a better place, you can start by getting over yourself. Me included. And one phrase that I heard my dad say, and I shortened it for your benefit, quit your belly aching. And make it your life's work to help people. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about those out there that need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. Help ease people's suffering. Help them connect to opportunities to come to know the Lord. Help them increase in knowledge. Help them reach their potential. And when your time comes and you leave this world behind, life's going to go on. It's the cold, sobering truth. So your greatest impact will be felt in what you accomplish through others. So I got three questions here. I should have put them in the notes. I didn't do it, but it's on the screen for you. Three questions that every Christian should wrestle with. Am I living for something bigger than me? Am I inspiring others to keep moving toward greater things? Am I investing my life in building people? And I tell you what, being able to answer these questions will help you live your life in such a way that you will not only change the eternal destination of those around you. One day you're going to be able to, like Moses, look out from the Mount Nebo of your heart and dance. And dance. Let's stand for prayer this morning. Father, with these sobering truths, we are kind of forced to analyze our own emotional baggage, what the true desires of our hearts are, and whether or not right now we really are up to the challenge. And it becomes a spiritual issue, Lord. What do we trust in? Or rather, who do we trust in? If we trust to ourselves, we go to loneliness. If we trust in You, everything opens up. A world, an eternity of possibilities. And so, Lord, right now, through Your Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us. Help us to see who we can build up around us. Help us to see what pains You. Help us to see those who need You. And Father, give us the courage and the wisdom and the heart to do Your bidding in this world. Because we all have our Mount Nebos one day. And we want to look out and see that we accomplished something for You. In Jesus' name.